Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. It's a video presentation! Just for you! Mostly. Anyway, same old stuff, gotta do something different, right? So that'll be the different part. Anyway. Gotta hook people, hook 'em. Oh, I'm so disinterested. Anyway, comments. So, some of them provoke a response. I mean, your brain does something. You say, "Oh, this is what this moron is about." And so there's just always something to make a story out of. So I do have a couple of thoughts in my head, but I guess I'll let some of these people trigger a thought. And don't really need to read the whole comment, right? So this French door guy, his icon is always French doors. He comments and just says stupid abstract crap, video after video, and then finally I block him because he says something really stupid. And so he's got a new name. I don't know what it is. Just gibberish. But he always has that French door icon. So anyway, he's been commenting for like a decade, and I just couldn't have paid much attention to who the hell his name was. But anyway, so this is the first time, I guess, that I've noticed he's outed himself as some sort of God-botherer. So he says, "The Lord pronounces judgment on the inhabitants of Israel." So this at this particular moment, this is probably not a great time to be doing, Jew-hating from the Christian perspective crap. It's just really stupid. Oh, and you're just like, what the fuck? I don't want to get into a whole political thing, but it's like the Hatfields and the McCoys, the Jews and the Muslims. And it's like the Jews have, they took a little piece of Hatfield territory. And, part of the bargain was that they let the Hatfields sharecrop on their the land they stole or something, and then the sharecroppers way overbred, and now there's bazillions of them. And, now they're landlords. Now they're running essentially, to me the irony is they're essentially running a concentration camp. And now they're going to have to come up with a final solution. What's going to be the final solution? How are they going to fix this? Because it's, unsustainable all over the place. They're running a nursery school with way too many babies in it. and there's no way they're going to be able to manage this. So they either give these people their independence and they can't because they'll kill them. Because there's more of them and, blah, 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 blah. But all these people are living in shit. And you're just saying, nobody can figure out how this isn't working. There's got to be a better plan. you can't have what's called, your promised God land. Nobody gets to have, God promised me I could have my own, 50 acres and a mule. What the fuck are we? None of us are entitled to any of this shit. So the whole thing is just just the waste of it. But then you think about it and you say, when I think about it, it's like you watch a movie now and it's almost like the plots are all backwards. The hero fights the dragon and gets killed, that fast. And you're like, oh, I'm supposed to be sad? No, that's sort of, he's lucky. Because now he doesn't have to die some slow, undignified way, pooping his pants. So he's been spared dying over a year period, pooping his pants and being terrible blight and having to be fed and all this other crap. And he's been spared all of that, and killed really quick. No pain, no suffering much, a little bit of and he's dead. How do you feel bad about that rationally? So it's an upside down narrative. The whole world is turned upside down. You're born into the world this way, and it's like the magnetic field of intelligence flips you, and then you're sitting here in an upside down world. Because, the facts are, all of this shit that people get upset by It's just that shit. Again, you could go through, I've mentioned this before, but I mean, the, you know, people killed in the plane crashes and all that kind of stuff. Very quick death, frankly, as long as you don't go through a whole bunch of hysterics first. If we trace their lives, how many of them really lost anything? You know, the 9/11 victims were big, huge winners because they all became billionaires, you know, the survivors, you know, so their tragic loss, you know, was compensated by, oh, you mean all the bad things that would have happened to them were, you know, prevented because they were instantly made insanely wealthy. Whatever. I mean, the whole thing is just so backward. So silly. Well, anyway. So I guess I should just block somebody stupid enough, right? I mean, if you're going to be dumb enough to talk about the sins of Israel, or the Israelites, you know. Oh, I can't block from this channel. Well, I'll get you later, moron. Anyway, you know, it's just so stupid. Oh, God. All right. So this guy says, if the truth was deadly, would it be an excuse for dishonesty? The more important question was, let's say the truth was a cure for everybody on earth except you. The truth gave you the plague, and it was like the 5,000-year plague. You know, you had to die really, really slow. So the truth would hurt you really badly, but it would spare everybody else. Would you have the character or courage to defend the truth? Yeah. I'm not asking the question in any judgmental way because, you know, I test myself often with these questions, and man, it's hard to say, oh, yes, of course, I would sign the paper, but I really wouldn't like it. So, you know, so I'd be really upset about, you know, meeting my contractual obligations. I would not really be happy, you know, at all about it. But I guess I could be my own policeman. That is, I mean, you'd have to drag me to a war, generally speaking. You know, because I just as soon shoot the assholes on my side as I'd shoot the assholes on their side, frankly, in an awful lot of cases. I could find plenty of my guys, you know, who deserve a bullet. But anyway, yeah, so it's always going to be a problem. It would have been a problem. It's a good thing I evaded all that kind of crap just by luck, you know. I just missed one draft, and then I missed the registration thing, and I've just missed just because of lucky circumstance of age. Yes, this is just, where does honesty have anything to do with anything? I mean, in any of these conversations. So anyway, let's see if I can find something. There was some other religious crap. You sound like Jim Jones on his last audio recording. So this is some sort of mortar loser king. So he calls himself a loser king. You know, well, gee, coming from a loser king, I guess that's almost articulate. But I mean, what's the point, asshole? You just called yourself, you self-described yourself as an asshole. So, okay, got it. And an asshole wrote an asshole comment. Fine. But the fact is Jim Jones was rather articulate. I mean, if you think of the circumstances, he's dying, right, of cancer. He's got this whole cult thing that's all falling apart all over the place. And frankly, the whole circumstance of why it's falling apart is over a silly feud over child custody. You know, so the whole thing is breaking down for some stupid little cruddy reason. You know, so I thought he did pretty well. So if you listen to his recording, he's pretty coherent and he's, you know, making some points and saying shit. So what exactly is your point? I sound like an articulate spokesperson for a cause. Is that your point? Well, great. I don't. Well, what exactly did Jim Jones say in his last audio recording that you find offensive in some way, or, you know, insane? Let's just show me the insane part somewhere. I don't know. I mean, if you were in this circumstance, would you find it insane to finally give up and just say, yeah, it's time to go, you know, we've done all of this stuff. We've been struggling for years, struggle, struggle, struggle. And now we finally have something and it all gets thrown in the garbage because of some stupid personal problem a couple of members have. Yeah, it's time to just pack it in then. I mean, why do you think they were all the way... Why were they in you whatever the fuck it was? It's not Uganda, but, you know, that South American nothing shithole. Why were they in first place? It's because they couldn't find you sufferable. They couldn't stand your fucking existence. They had to run the fuck away from you. You're kind. You asshole. All right. Honest medical cures. What is this about? Holocaust? Question mark. Oh, shit. What is he bringing that up for? Flat Earth Theory 2. What the fuck is Trumpism? You can't figure out what a Trumpism is? And then he turns that into CNN. So obviously just... So we got another guy with a just fantastic, you know, screen username. XXX. YYZXXX. He's got a code. His name's a code. He's going to talk about conspiracies. Anyway. So there's some guy giving me advice about YouTube's policies. Yes, I understand. YouTube will do whatever the fuck YouTube wants to do. They just sent me a notice that they banned for whatever, not hate speech, but some sort of harassment. They called it harassment. Yeah. A 14-year-old video. So they took down a 14-year-old video for harassment. I mean, come on. You know, this is just, there's no rational policies anywhere to you know, in YouTube's annals of policies. None of them are rational. All right. So this is always funny, right? Do you ever reply to other people making videos? That's what I did forever. And guess what? Nobody was interested. You know, because the other people aren't interested. You know, it turns out something like that anyway. But if you have some suggestion, is there somebody worthy of a reply video? Is there somebody saying something that's worthy of me replying to it? You know, that's just screaming for some sort of necessary counter-argument that isn't some argument that is absolutely ludicrously irrelevant. Like, I wear, my shorts are too short. I mean, there's actually people who make videos about how, you know, I somehow am inappropriate, okay, in some manner I have. He has five fingers on his hand. How silly is that? So, I mean, besides people making videos about nonsense, do you have actually some idea of somebody who's making a cogent, you know, a reasonable counter-argument explaining how evolution ain't so bad, that human psychology isn't nonsense, that somehow there's some evidence that human beings are going to construct some kind of, you know, utopia? Is anything? Do you have anybody saying anything that's really reasonable? That there's anything about this project, this infestation on Earth that's somehow is curing the universe's cancer? That somehow it's very, very sad that there aren't a bunch of living creatures eating each other on Mars? Is there somebody making that argument somewhere that, oh, gee, we all should be very, very sad? Jesus. Or is it just literally listening to your own voice? So again, I mean, by even by any fair analysis of the thousands of videos, you know, 15,000, whatever the fuck it is, I've made on this channel, I mean, a very high percentage of them are response videos. So based on any other channel on YouTube, the argument could be made that I've made more response videos by percentage of videos than most other commentators on the internet. I mean, I suppose there are people who just respond to videos and that's all they do. You know, they don't make any argument themselves. They just make counter arguments. I suppose there's such channels, but I just mean, it's such a stupid accusation. It's just stupid. I mean, just pointing out how you haven't paid any attention to what this channel has done or what the whole project is. Anyway, seeing your own face and replying to things you've mentioned yourself. Yes. Apparently, I am the most intelligent person I could reply to. So I'm saying things that are so smart that a smart person would have to say, shit, I have to talk about that because that's kind of a smart insight. So let me talk about that some more. You know, that's probably the way it works. Even if I'm not disagreeing with me, my points are so profoundly meaningful and interesting that, yes, they deserve more conversation. I should talk about them over and over again because I do it so well. Fucking idiot. Anyway, I mean a different format. Like, what format would that be? I should talk, maybe I should literally flip the video upside down. You know, life spelled backwards, and I could do the video upside down, pointing out how, well, I'm talking to a bunch of retards whose brains are twisted and tilted in the wrong direction, and so therefore I have to literally talk to them upside down because they're not thinking right side up. Oh, fuck. To put it that way, would be a lot more interesting to watch and listen to. If you had, like, pink balloons in the videos. After a while, just an idea. I don't know. Is that what this was? This was just an ideal? You sit there and grow... You know, it's a pretty harsh fucking insult you dump here. That I'm just sitting here literally listening to my own voice. Blah, 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 blah. And then you say, well, just an idea. He has some, what is this? Market, is that, he has, the, no, make it make sense. Peepers. Something like that. You didn't, it's not a very, it's not, you know, your screen name doesn't really sing, you know, it's, you could have put a capital letter in here somewhere maybe, right? Or do something. You know, put the number, take the number thing and put numbers in between the different words, do something to jazz it up a little bit. But you didn't, Mike. make. Yeah, I saw your name is Make It. No, Make It. Yeah, Make It's his name. His first name. Right? Anyway. I just hate people. So, this guy says, the Bible says be fruitful and multiply. It says a lot of crazy shit. You know, and it does a lot of crazy shit. It, you know, sends people to purgatory because, you know, they saw, Noah's naked hiney. I mean, it's just the whole thing is just so fucking retarded. The story is stupid. Oh, yeah. So at least these people did throw in some of the less favorable biblical quotes that you always do sort of forget. I mean, this Ecclesiastes one. Where it basically says, you should want to be dead because life sucks. You know, again, I looked and I saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears and the oppression and the oppressed. Well, you're always going to see the oppressed, those oppressed by disease and disability. And so how come that's okay? I mean, yeah, slavery's bad. Yeah, it's bad that people have wars. It's bad all that shit happens. But frankly, life is bad anyway. There's always going to be happily bad ever after, you know, or sadly bad ever after. I mean, there's no such thing as this fairy tale endings. There's all these crappy, shitty endings where you know, if you love your mate, you're going to have to, one of you is going to have to watch the other one die. I mean, the whole thing sucks. It's just this shitty, horrible, tedious, laborious battle to maintain your existence. And you only do it because you're scared to death of the alternative. And that's it. There's just stay healthy because you don't like being sick. Well, obviously. I mean, that's the way we're built. So, of course, you're going to try to stay healthy so you're not sick. But the system is going to let you do that. It's going to kill you anyway. And they have no comforter. power was on the side of their oppressors. So all of this talk from religious people is just kind of funny, right? You know, because isn't God supposed to fix it with a lightning bolt or something? And they have no comforter. Yeah, so... and I declare that the dead who had already died. So yeah, the ones who went quick, you know, they got nothing to worry about. The ones that survive have to clean up the dead bodies, and they have to treat the wounds, and they have to do all the other, you know, slavery. They have to be a slave to the horror for the rest of their lives. They have to run the movie, the bad movie, over and over again. Are happier than the living. Well, I don't know if they're happier. You know, they're certainly less tormented, I could say that, who are still alive. But better than both are those who have never been, you know, which is born, who has not seen the evil and has that has been done under the sun, right? So you're better off innocent of the whole project and not having to be a participant. Because being a participant, I mean, again, the obligations are so reasonably obvious to figure out. So I have stated in previous videos numerous times, I mean, the future is bigger than the present. You can figure that part out. So any small sacrifices you can make in the present that have this huge return in the future, like if you can kill 10 people now to save 1,000 people tomorrow or 1,000,000 people tomorrow, you're sort of obligated. You know, so if you can sacrifice your working day, you know, your hours of your life. You can invest 2 hours a day now that'll save, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of people doing extra work tomorrow to clean up some mess like dioxin or some other thing that you, because you did the expedient way, you made a mess that they have to clean up. You borrowed money and now somebody else has to pay it back, however you want to metaphor that. But it just becomes an obligation, and life is just ends up being this idea of being a janitor. You're just a slave to the facts, and the facts are that your brain isn't the only one here, and that in most cases, you can sacrifice an awful lot of luxuries to the fact that there are starving people in China. There just are. It's just a fact. There's always somebody else who needs more than you do, and they need less. Okay, less will produce more. That is, the $10 you're spending will be like $1,000 for them. You can do so much more for them. You can fix so much more of their problem. It's like a few cents worth of vitamins, you know, prevents kids from going blind. You know, little things like that, they're just facts. What's pleasurable about living in a world where that you know those are the facts, and the fact is every time you do something extravagant, and almost everything could be called extravagant, you're harming people, frankly. You're leading, it's a direct consequence of your use of the thing means that somebody else ain't using it. If you're, you know... And it goes to every single thing you do. Every relationship you have is under those obligations. The fact is, if, you know, your wife wasn't married to you, she would have been married to somebody else. And the fact is that you might be able to figure out that maybe she would have been better off. Maybe you could have picked a better mate for her than you. You could have found somebody who would make her happier. Just a fact. So what's the fun in living that kind of life? And that's the only rational life to live, is to recognize that, you know, you're fucked. You're in a fucked condition where you just don't really have... There's no way for you to live guilt-free and comfortable. That can't happen. Because there's too much need in the world, and there's too few resources and all that bullshit. And so you've got to do the missionary thing. You know, for real. And I don't see volunteering. Especially I don't see, you know, as much as the Jesus talkers talk the talk, they don't really walk the walk. All right. So then somebody says, can you stream live, please? What the fuck is that all about? I just don't know. I'm tired of watching all your old streams. I don't even know what that means. What do you think? Yeah, it's just impossible for me really to understand what you think the huge distinction is. Now, obviously, talking to somebody else is a little more complicated. It's not like the old stickam days, and you can just open a room. And now we know that the trolls would just ruin everything that's you could possibly create. They'll just disrupt it, because that's all they have as an argument, is disruption. But, I don't get it exactly. I don't get what you find so valuable, because I'd say that in all those streams there was very little content that was really about the subject, and most of it just end up being arguments, going past each other, that the format doesn't really lead to any rational reductionism and getting to core disagreements and recognizing that those core disagreements are the problem. Something like that, anyway. All right, so enough of that mush. And so I'll just reiterate the points I've already made and then just say some more stuff about that, I guess. So I'll be back. Think about it. All right, back. So I was thinking about some of the crappy arguments people make regarding previous comments I've made about subjects, and they pervert it and take one sentence and say that's what I said, kill midgets or something, because I said, well, I'd prefer not to be born a midget. It's just an honest statement. I mean, there's liabilities. It's not so much that you're just short. You know, it comes with these physical, negatives. Surgeries and whatnot that I'd prefer not to be bothered with. So it's not like you're saying, oh, they should be in, midget camps and, we have to annihilate them or some kind of bullshit. But they just exaggerate the fact that you have some negative statement you wish to make about, well, I'd prefer not to be. If I said something like I'd prefer not to be black, Is that a profound statement or something? Because I'm saying that, well, I can see advantages to not bothering with that. the world, in fact, is unfair. And the truth is, the historical truth is that a whole bunch of crap has been created that gives disadvantages that I think are still exist. There's disadvantage, they're just residual filth that's just stuck, that we're all stuck with, the legacy of the resentments and the counter resentments and all of the, the back and forth bullshit that's gone on, has just created a bunch of atmosphere where, why exist in that hostility if you can evade it? Does that mean anything? My personal preference means something? If I said I prefer to be blonde and blue-eyed if I existed again because I like it, is that some sort of irrational hate speech? So I've just hated on everybody else because I said, oh, I think having blue eyes is cool, and yeah, I like blonde hair. So now I'm a hater. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. Now, there's real subjects where there's going to be real, where it really is going to matter. So there's subjects where people are devoted to something. So you could say, okay, on the one hand, you have the loony religious people who kill the abortion doctors. Now, part of me says, okay, that's pretty insincere. I mean, those people just want to fight for God. They want to kill the enemy, which is anybody who's anti-God. So they're just like Muslims, and they're just doing their jihad thing, but they really don't care about fetuses. They're not trying to save souls. Okay, they're just trying to propagandize for their God and kill the Jews, in the case of the Muslims, the bad guys, and anything that isn't them is a bad guy. And then I would say that there's other advocates that go too far. You could say some of the tree huggers or the animal rights people, who I would defend their logic, defend their motivation. But I can't defend their actions, because they go too far. you know, under the circumstances. You know, we really, all we have is this social contract crap to create some sort of thing called a civilization. And, you know, we all can't just, you know, think you can do it for free. Now, the fact is if they're, you know, well enough motivated, they are probably doing the right thing. It is the right thing to do. Because in the wartime, it would be the right thing to do. But it's not a war yet. And that's the tricky part. Because eventually it will be, right? I mean, I don't, the thing isn't going to go away, right? So it's not a breeding war. You don't breed vegetarians, generally speaking. People become vegetarians. So they are born not vegetarian and they become it. And the very fact that there are millions of people that choose it, okay, that choose to change, which is not fun, means it's a pretty significant compulsion. It's not something out of nowhere. So they weren't born into the religion. They weren't born into a culture. That's not what's driving their perception that there's a wrong being committed. And the argument would be it's a real Holocaust. Now, some people would say, oh, it's just plain evil to compare a human life to an animal's life, or to make any kind of analogies, but rationally, I don't know how those analogies aren't perfectly applicable. All animals are dumb. That's it. So they're like a dumb human. And unless you're going to throw some religious context on it, there really isn't any difference. You're just doing it to the animals because they are, in fact, retarded, and you can get away with it. And there's no advocates for these retarded people. And that's all it really is. They're retarded people. They're retarded beings, sentient beings. And yeah, they can't add 2 plus 2, and they can't speak English, and they can't do a lot of things. But what they can do is feel. And they can have good days and bad days, and they can be comforted, and they can be harmed. They can be terrorized, and they, you know, you just have to look at a cat video on YouTube or a puppy video or some other thing. It's quite obvious that you can make them happy or you can make them sad. You can torment them or you can comfort them. So there's no difference in what you're actually getting, which is a brain that's either tormented or a brain that's, you know, in some sort of comfortable bliss. And that's it. So there's nothing irrational about recognizing this is, you know, a Holocaust. You know, all of these things are being, it's worse than, you could say, some normal human Holocaust where you only do it once. This Holocaust is repeated over and over again. They breed new Jews to, you know, put in their camps and annihilate eventually and use up, enslave, and then, you know. The Nazis didn't eat them as far as the legend goes, but same difference. They abused their dignity and their character as living, feeling beings and disregarded it. And so you could argue that that's, what's the difference? There's no real big difference. It's not perfectly, it's not insanely unreasonable for somebody to say there isn't enough of a difference to justify it. This slavery is the same slavery. It's the same kind of abuse. It's out of the same motivation, personal gain. It's not out of anything defendable as an idea. Just saying. So what's going to be the solution? So when there's, 50% of people decide to become intelligent and reasonable and fair-minded and decide that, yeah, I really can't justify my existence as something at something else's expense. I'm not going to harm little bunny rabbits, and I'm not going to, brutalize little cows, and I'm not going to, you know, do all this horrible shit. I'm not going to defend some notion that I'm worth it because I know better. So that reasonable statement gets made by enough people. What's going to have to happen? Is there some point there where it's going to be a real political struggle and a real political fight? And again, it's going to be motivated by people who are going to say, I'm defending good and decency and rightness. And so you're going to be on some side defending human indulgence, you know, human cruelty. You know, you're going to be the Nazis, you know, you meat eaters, in the war. And, you know, people are going to feel quite justified in, you know, throwing their daggers, their real daggers. So there's so many issues like that where, you know, it's going to eventually have to explode in some way. It can't just be a disagreement. It's not going to just be a disagreement forever. It's going to have to turn into something more. And we don't have any, there's no mechanism for those ideological battles. And as you can see almost in what's happened now in the political systems, those battles will end up destroying democracies. They'll, you know, turn them into myopic, one-subject democracies, and where all kinds of garbage gets defended because, well, yeah, well, they're for that very bad thing, but they're for a couple of good things over here, you know, and all that gets compromised because you have to choose a side. You know, you're going to be forced to, okay? You're going to be drafted into the war, whether you like it or not. And you might not believe in it at all. You might be, you know, you're drafted into fighting a war where, you know, the other guys seem, you have more empathy with their position than with the position of the side that drafted you. I mean, it's the Mason-Dixon line. You know, how do you sit there and just draw a line somewhere and say, oh, it's all the right thinkers are on this side and all the wrong thinkers are on that side? It just ain't going to happen. You're not going to have a convenient civil war. It's going to be very inconvenient because it's going to be on the street. It's going to be on every street. You know, every piece of territory will have to be fought for as a little independent nation choosing a side. So anyway, just a side subject, sort of. But I mean, it's part of the whole idea that all of this crap that people think is important, you've got all these completely unsustainable issues that are going to face the human race in terms of going another 100 years even. I mean, all the nanotechnology issues, all of the stuff where you're not going to be able to exist in a world where people really hate each other. And you've got nothing going for you in that department. I mean, the hate is just growing and growing in terms of how much people are feeling suffocated by other human beings and their policies and attitudes and behavior. It's just going to become, you know, all of this shit. People driving down the street with their music too loud in their cars. It's going to become a shooting war eventually. They're going to have to start shooting the peace and quieters. You know, there'll be a war between the sloppy pig noisemakers and people who just want to be left alone. The left aloneers are going to have to fight to be left alone. Anyway, just saying. All right, sort of a related subject. So I was thinking about the last holdouts on something like vegetarianism. It'd still be the religious kooks. So the religious kooks are always the underlying problem, are the people who have this moronic devotion to a way archaic way of life. It was even in one of those comments like, Jesus would hate technology. So Jesus would have hated the idea that they learn to wash their hands before they help giving birth to a baby. You know, he'd hate that idea. Oh, yeah, we shouldn't wash our hands. You know, I mean, it's just kind of silly, right? So what exactly would Jesus hate? You know, I mean, clearly he did that whole Sermon on the Mount thing talking about how the birds don't have, you know, microwave ovens. You know, it doesn't go anywhere because living a natural life is living a short, miserable life. It's just a fact. So, you know, because there's just so many things that are going to kill you. And in so many ways, the environment is going to brutalize you without, you know, all the technology we've built to protect ourselves from nature. And it's not going to get any easier, you know, as the as the planet gets hotter and wetter. But anyway, where was I? So yeah, just talking about the arguments in the sense that, you know, obviously the religious people will just defeat any argument saying animals are people too. They're just not going to accept that. But I was thinking about all the people who just, you know, you see them walking their dogs down the street and, you know, they have this, you know, they have a very close relationship. I mean, they're picking up its poop. You know, I mean, it's a pretty intimate relationship, you know. And you're just saying, yeah, well, most of these people are, you know, sit down and buy into the torture industry of feeding you what are essentially just kids with autistic kids or something. So if your kid comes out autistic, you should eat it. Yeah, you know, the animals that you're eating are just kind of autistic in the sense that they don't make as good a pet. You know, they're because they don't interact as well as the ones we've trained over thousands of years to be genetically fitted or suited to us. We've designed the pets to suit the human needs. And so, you know, they're more integrated. And these are just these segregated wild animals that you think are food. It's only because you haven't engineered them to be your friend. You haven't engineered them to cuddle and, you know, to be a warm little companion and, you know, say thank you, you know, purr and such, and lick your face and all that crap. And that's the only distinction, right? That's it. There's nothing else between the pig and your couch than the fact that it's autistic and it's gonna poop on your couch. Maybe it's not going to be as trainable. Maybe it's going to do something, you know, piggy that you're not going to like. And that's been bred out of the animals we've decided to petterize. That's not a complicated argument, is it? I mean, you know, not much should be hinging on such a simple perception of that's stupid. But what have human beings done throughout history is really stupid stuff. I mean, again, you can just go back to the Holocaust and the overt bigotry. Even if a bunch of conniving, nasty Jews, you know, did evil, nasty things to the German people, you know, as a little cabal of Jews, like a little terrorist Jews. Again, why would you blame the entire Jewish race, okay? That is, anybody with Jewish heritage, even when they're not religious or they're not this or not, they're not even practicing Jews. I mean, that's just so illogical. And, yeah, well, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's so trivially stupid that you're saying, how could that, you know, run a country? How could that be the theory with which the whole thing moves and runs? I mean, obviously it wasn't the whole story. I mean, obviously part of the Germany's ambitions wasn't just about hating Jews. It was about controlling, you know, some efficiency theory, I guess you could say, that they could make Europe more powerful if it was unified. But that's almost a cover for all the bad ideas, where really all they're doing is stealing resources and territory. They're saying we need their water, or we need their power, or we need their mineral resources, or we need something from them. And that's why we're really doing this, is because we can't get bigger without more territory and resources. Something like that, probably. Yeah. So I don't want to... You know, glancing at some subjects is dangerous, so I wasn't saying anything profound. I'm just making the simple argument that very big things happen in the world over trivially stupid ideas. And that alone should be reason for somebody not to be very optimistic about human destiny and the plight of living creatures on planet Earth. Because it looks like it's just going to be a long, hard civil war. And that's all it's ever going to be. It's just a, you know, peaks and valleys of warring in different ways with different mechanisms and different tools, but it's never going to go somewhere. You know, it's never not going to lead to anything but a constant battle, and there's never going to be. It'll never get to the point where you have the Enterprise, you know, and you're Star Trekking. Why bother? It's not going to be a great story. I mean, if we could know ahead of time, right? If you could know ahead of time, you're going to go on a fishing trip tomorrow, and you're not going to catch any fish, you're going to get a hook in your hand, and you're going to get seasick. You'd say, oh yeah, well, maybe I'd like to take a pass on that then. You know, let's not bother. So, you know, if it was possible to see the future, I don't think you'd like it, is the simple point. And you wouldn't impose it on your own kids, kind of thing. You know, you wouldn't force a dog to exist in it. But whatever. you know, a pig. Yeah, but so yeah, a lot of people are very nice to their dogs. They wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't want their dog to have a bad day. But it's okay if they make a pig have a really bad day. Anyway, I'll be back. All right, so I was thinking the subject I really want to get to is the right to die, and I wanted to get to some kind of, you know, telling some stories about it, you know, how, you know, just imagine the game shows you could create, you know, where you offer $10,000 if you're willing to put your hand in a guillotine that has a 50-50 chance of cutting your hand off, and that for $10,000 there's going to be a lot of people that say, okay, go ahead, yeah, I'll take a chance, you know, I'll buy all that lottery ticket. So if you actually sold lottery tickets that had negatives to them, you know, and maybe even you got the ticket for free, and all you had to do was pick up the ticket, and yeah, it had this chance. You got 1 in 1,000 chance of getting $500, and you got 1 in 10,000 chance that they cut the tip of your ear off or some other kind of crap. People go for it. And so if we'd like to, you know, we took this idea that there's too many people needing too much help, too much resources being used, and that we had to cull the human race, it would be just kind of funny to see the volunteers, right? So if the government offered a nice, humane, pretty death, you know, just a very technically high-tech, beautiful transition from being alive to being dead, you know, how many people would just volunteer? Yeah, sure, I'll go. I'll go. It'd be an interesting experiment just to see how many people would say, yeah, okay, you know, especially if I'm doing it for the children, I'm doing it for the future. But unfortunately, that argument can never be made because our whole economic structure is built on the fact that people, we need more people. We need overcrowding. Because overcrowding is the only way to keep real estate prices up. You have to somehow create more demand for a house, okay, constantly, for the price to go up. The price can't go up if there isn't more demand. So this whole idea of importing people is really just about maintaining the economic structure in the sense that all of the housing prices have to keep going up because nobody really owns their house. They've borrowed the money to own the house, okay, and they can't pay it back. You know, if the price of the house goes down, then their equity disappears and all they have is debt and they don't own anything. So the whole structure is dependent on this bringing more people in than, and it's competing with the idea of making new houses. So you have to actually have more people come in than you're making new houses for housing prices to keep going up. And it's just because people are used to this. You know, for 100 years, that's how you made money. You could just buy yourself a house, sit in it for 10 years, and then sell it for a profit that was more than a year or two's worth of your income. And so it was a way of, you know, surviving for some people, but yes, for some people, it's a way of making money without doing any work. And that's their expectation, you know, that that's how life should work, that you get, you know, you can make free money. That's one of the games the middle class and the rich play, is ownership. And any ownership ends up being, you're not only getting rent, but when you finally sell your taxi, you sell it for more than you paid for it in the first place. They look for those kind of bargains to own. And so somebody left a comment about that renter society and all this, but it's always been that way. Renting is one of the chief ways people make money, get rich. So anyway, so, you know, we'd never get, as a society, we just can't concede that there's too many people, and too many people not well engineered. I mean, too many people sloppily constructed, that even with our very expensive education system, it's not nearly good enough. It's not doing the job, and way too many people are way too useless. Okay, by the time they reach maturation, they're more trouble than they were as babies. They're more expensive. Their upkeep. There's no way to, you know, I mean, just think of what the average crime costs in terms of, you got to pay the cop extraordinary fees, you know, just to catch and arrest these people. Then you have all these court crap. You got to pay extraordinary amounts of money for these assholes. And then you got to pay for the prison. And it's just hugely expensive. So not only is the crime expensive in the sense that it causes damage and, you know, ruins people's lives and puts people in hospitals and does all kinds of shit, but on top of that, you know, the punishment of the crime is hugely expensive. And, you know, what's that? You know, the society can't function if it's leaking oil, you know, if it's leaking resources in the sense of creating a bunch of jobs and work and toil and trouble, that doesn't produce anything. You know, it produces something. It produces the non-existent pothole that now won't break people's cars. You know, it fixes something that shouldn't have been broken in the first place. And, you know, and that's merely because, what, the government can't rationally tell people that you have an obligation to procreate responsibly? And it's a real obligation that, you know, we're really going to make it an obligation. So, as I've said before, you don't have to be punitive. You don't put people in jail for recklessly reproducing, but you could have a system that you reward people for not doing it. So if you knew you were going to get a paycheck, you know, $5,000 for hitting the age of 21 without recklessly procreating, that is, procreating out of wedlock, you know, with no means of providing for the person you've created. You don't make enough money to feed it and take care of it properly. And you're going to lose the money if you do that. That little incentive, just that one little tiny incentive, would be enough to maybe eliminate half the problem. But then the religious kooks will say, well, that'll encourage more abortions. Yeah, maybe it would. Maybe it would, as a side effect, cause more abortions in the short run. But again, nobody wants to have an abortion. I mean, if you have the choice to do it, you know, the easy way, prevent the pregnancy the easy way, people will rationally choose that choice, and so it's just a matter of stopping them from being drunk or on drugs or some other bullshit, some insanely stupid behavior, which leads to most of that reckless reproduction. But anyway, it's, you know, it's not a... we're trying no solution, and there's little things you could do. I mean, you know, cost almost nothing by comparison to the price of the, you know, the lifetime of maintenance required for the poorly engineered birth. small price to pay. And, you know, it's only upside benefits, you know, could be a minor effect, could be a major effect. Not to try it, not to do something. And, you know, like I said, not even to have, you know, they had commercials about not littering when I was a kid, but they didn't have any commercials about, you know, don't fuck irresponsibly. You know, they really needed that. Anyway, probably enough of a video. Yeah, probably. But I'll see. I'll do one more little think. All right, so a little thing popped into my head, a little thought from the other day. I was sitting watching people. And so two, you know, kind of big black guys come down the street pulling a little, one of them's pulling a little red wagon with two, you know, ugly little kids in it. You know, kind of, you know, still at the cripply kind of age, you know, where they're just, blah, 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 you know, they're not really seeing anything. So this is like almost pushing the stroller thing. And, you know, the baby is just a blob. It's, you know, what the hell is it outside for anyway? I don't think it's getting enriched by the experience. Let's put it that way. And it's just, you know, to me, this is like wearing a sign, loser. I mean, you could just wear it on your shirt, loser, you know. I mean, this is the last thing I'd want to be doing as an existing being on Earth, is being in this situation where I was, you know, pulling this, you know, 18-year-old tumor, you know, down the street. I mean, just in so many ways, it's so anti, you know, they think it's their macho thing. And they're both fat, you know, look like they'll probably have diabetes or heart disease before they're 40. And, you know, the picture is just so ludicrous in a way to me, you know. And I'm, again, this is just personal. I'm just saying, personally, this is hell, okay? You could, just couldn't make hell any clearer than draw this picture and somehow put me in it. You know, pulling a wagon with some little drooling blob of crap in the wagon, thinking I'm accomplishing something. You know, I'm pulling a little kid's wagon with a little rotten pile of pus, putrid thing, gooey little creep in it. You know, a little parasite. I just, you know, sorry, I just, it's so bizarre. It's more bizarre than some guy doing miming shit on the street or something. I mean, it's just like, why would I wouldn't want to live that life. You know, I could point to it and just, no way would I want to be doing this. And no way would I do it in public. I mean, it's so embarrassing. I mean, to me, you know, it would just be some way of saying, you know, my penis is fully retracted now. My life is over. Yeah, I don't know. It's just such a, it's like, you know, it's worse than death. It's a fate worse than death. You're just saying, there's no way I'd want that story. I'd want to play out that Three Bears story, or whatever you want to call it. That story is just too horrible. And it's just in a superficial way, right? It's not horrible in the sense that there's no knives stuck in their eye, but God, it's just so, it's such a defeat, you know, in terms of some kind of story. It's just a dismal failure, you know, of a life, of a brain, of a being here on Earth. What a waste of your time. Waste of consciousness to be relegated to this as, oh yeah, this is my fun time. Yeah, no. I don't get you. All right. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of a funny little thing. Just, you know. It just points out how upside down, you know. It's just, you know, there's just no way for me to turn my head enough to figure out how that's winning. Just can't do it. I can't look at it from some angle and see where, oh yeah, it is a portrait of fun. No, I can't see that. Can't find it. Anyway, so yeah, we made it to an hour. That's probably enough. It'll be enough. Yeah, I'm declaring it enough. So, anyway. Yeah, so still working on doing this better, but, you know, for now, this is what you're getting. Until I figure out the master plan of how you get the human race to talk about something that actually matters. Just not that easy to do. Well, the human race, I mean, to get people to do it, you know, to find some people willing to talk about something real, you know, real facts like evolution or, you know, the fact that the universe doesn't need. And so we can't do anything to satisfy a need or to fulfill a need or to accomplish anything that aren't our own needs. We make the need and then attempt to satisfy the need we make, but we don't, there's no need without us being here to create it. And that's, you know, that's a intellectual dilemma. You know, you gotta have to say that yes, your intelligence is gonna have to work on that one a while to figure out how that makes sense. You know, make a mess and then clean up half the mess. Yeah, that doesn't sound like it could go anywhere. All right, anyway, so enough said. Until the next time when I say some more stuff, even though I already said enough. Obviously more needs to be said, and it needs to be said better. So I'll work on that plan. Whatever. Yeah, whatever. There's do or do not do. There is no try. So, yeah, I'm still trying, and that's really bad. I have to start doing. But anyway, I'll work on it. I'll try to do. Yeah, even though trying's a waste of time, I'll work on it. I'll try to make trying work. I'll try to try trying to make trying turn into doing. That's what I'll do. Something like that.